Welcome to the WWE Podcast, your number one source for the latest in WWE news and straightforward analysis.
Are you ready to get this thing going?
Give me a hell yeah! I said give me a hell yeah!
Then let's get this show started right now.
What is good? My name is The Crisis, and wow, anybody listening in on this episode, you are in for a treat because I am in for a treat. I am getting the distinct honor to step in for Miss Mimi Burris with your AEW Dynamite review. And hey, first and foremost, don't worry. Mimi will be back. She'll be back next week. You won't have to put up with me for long. But I am honored as absolute heck to be able to do this review show for you. I am a lifelong WWE fan, wrestling fan. I've watched Impact. You know, I watched WCW back in the day. All of it. And AEW is the newest product on the market, and I gotta say that I am a new fan, a recent fan that has absolutely bought in every week through the whole last year or so. AEW has become a show that I actually look forward to watching it more often than not, more than other wrestling shows that I watch. And that's saying a lot. And all the respect goes to everybody over there at AEW. Big shout out to Matt. This is the WWE Podcast. Thank you for letting me come on in and throw a celebrity shot and do this review. So I'm not going to waste y'all's time. We're going to get right into it. The show kicks off. You got Bryan Danielson versus Dustin Rhodes. And I got to say, Bryan Danielson's style fits with any wrestler because he can adapt, he can manipulate what he does, and he can play any role that he needs to, because even JR, he said specifically, this is a great pro wrestling match, and that's exactly what it was. I mean, I know in my mind, there's no way Bryan Danielson's any chance losing this match. In my opinion, I feel like he's going to be my pick to win the whole thing, and that eventually sets him up with another rematch with Kenny Omega, but that's down the road. We're going to talk about right now, and right now I got to give the shout out to Dustin Rhodes. If I was in that crowd, he would have been getting the, from me, "You still got it" chant. It is absolutely amazing to see that man, as I've watched him through other companies, other promotions, all through the years, and wow, he's still doing front flips off the side of the ring. He did a superplex off the top rope that was flawless, absolutely flawless, and, you know, it was a great hard-hitting match. Bryan Danielson, he is, in my opinion, it doesn't matter what promotion it is, it doesn't matter where in the company, where in the world you are, of all the wrestlers I've seen, Bryan Danielson takes more real stiff hits than anybody I know. That boy takes a beating. And when I say that's my boy, I'm from Washington State. And of course, Bryan Danielson, Aberdeen, Washington, hometown boy. I go to see him live anytime he performs in Washington. And he never ceases to amaze. And this match actually ended in such a neat way because there's other wrestlers that have tried using the guillotine as a finishing move, and it's a hard one for me to buy into, because a guillotine in, you know, actual mixed martial arts, UFC, whatnot, like that ends fights immediately. So for me personally, sometimes it's a kind of a hard sell, because if someone's gonna put a guillotine or a chokehold on, I need to see you actually put the darn thing on, and this was tight. Bryan Danielson, him and Dustin Rhodes may have gotten me. They may have sold so well, they got me. Because after Bryan Danielson chokes him out, I felt like he actually got choked out. Bryan Danielson sold it so far that after he's done celebrating his win, he immediately looks down and shows concern to Dustin Rhodes and goes down and checks on him as well. So I gotta say, if that was just 100 complete sell, they got me. If it wasn't, I'm still as equally as impressed because there's nothing I like more than seeing professional wrestling and wrestlers take it just that little step further, to take that little bit stiffer of a hit, take that harder of a bump. And that's what happened in the end. Bryan Danielson moves on in the World Championship Elimination Tournament. Shout out to Dustin Rhodes, man. You still got it. Absolutely amazing. Then we went straight from that to a promo with The Elite. And this, for me, is something that I look forward to every week because it is no joke. It is no secret. I am an Adam Cole fan. I've been an Adam Cole fan since the moment I discovered him in other promotions, and I've been following every single match he's done over the last 3 years. And I got to say this. I know that the Young Bucks are an amazing tag team, amazing wrestlers. I know Kenny Omega is top tier in the industry, but I don't care who you put Adam Cole around. When he is on the screen, when he is in the ring, if he's on a promo and he's not even talking, much like this promo, he outshines everybody. He outshines absolutely everybody, in my opinion. He is an absolute megastar, and it's going to be absolutely amazing to watch him go on. I mean, Kenny Omega, he cuts a promo. He cuts a promo, you know, in their comedic, you know, really debilitating way. And, you know, he says some neat little one-liners, but I found myself literally not really listening to Kenny Omega. I was just found myself watching Adam Cole, and I'm going to say this, in my opinion, Adam Cole's character, he has the same issue that CM Punk and Bryan Danielson have. It's not really an issue, but they are in what I like to call a honeymoon phase. And in the honeymoon phase, it's because the fans are so excited that they're there. It really doesn't matter if they're heel, baby face, what the storyline is. The fans don't care. They're just that ecstatic still to see that specific wrestler. So they're going to cheer, they're going to react, and they're going to do their thing. And I myself am looking forward to when CM Punk, Bryan Danielson, and Adam Cole can finally start being a character and not the professional wrestler that we are just happy to see come to AEW. I just cannot wait for that to happen, because every time I see Adam Cole and The Elite, I'm waiting for it. I will probably wee myself just a little bit out of excitement when it happens, but I just cannot wait to see Kenny Omega cutting a promo and Adam Cole busting him in the mouth with a super kick. I'm calling it right now. That's what I believe is going to happen. And at that point, that's where Adam Cole turns complete babyface, and he's going to go on a massive run. It doesn't matter what he does. When he finally gets to go on his run, it's going to be massive. I can't wait for it. It'll be absolutely amazing. And I hope, you know, just to give you a little bit more of my opinion, I hope that it, no matter what happens, I hope it ends up with Adam Cole turning babyface, and eventually I want to see him and MJF. And I will get to MJF. We're just going to get to MJF now, actually. No, we ain't even going to worry about it. We're just going to skip right from Adam Cole to somebody that I call the best promo guy, girl. It doesn't matter. He does the best promos of absolutely anybody, in my opinion, and he is by far and away the best heel in the business right now. That is MJF. The promo starts off with Sting coming out, because obviously we all know that MJF and his goonies decided to take out another hometown boy, Darby Allin, from Washington State as well, but they took him out a few weeks ago. So Sting is coming to the ring to have a chat and, you know, and give an update on Darby Allin. And that is where the minute that MJF's music hits, the minute he comes out and the minute he starts talking on a microphone, he doesn't waste a moment. He doesn't waste an instant. He doesn't waste no time in any way, shape, or form. And I have not seen him yet step out of character. And that's before Sting can even say a word, out comes MJF, and he torches the crowd. He torches Sting. He even came out doing the Ric Flair strut. Like, I'm telling you, when it comes to being a heel, MJF is he needs to teach a seminar, a class. Everybody that wants to be a heel in any professional wrestling promotion, they need to be watching MJF. He, even when he goes to refer to anybody, whether it's an announcer, whether it's another wrestler, whether it's the crowd, whether it's the city, he almost never just strictly refers to anybody by name. He will literally make fun of you or degrade you every time he refers to you. He throws in, he calls this crowd inbred goat or inbred gun toters. He gets into Sting and rips into him about how every single person that has backed him up and been around him, how they've all ended up getting messed over by him. But one of the best parts of it all, and I'm going to give you just the one sample because I can't do it justice. While MJF is in the middle of cutting this promo, the crowd starts chanting, "Shut the F up." And it is so loud, so clear. Big shout out to the AEW fans. When it comes to chants and when it comes to crowd interaction, AEW fans have the unique ability to immediately get on the same page. It doesn't take three or four times through a chant for you to understand what they're saying, and it was very obvious exactly what they were saying. Even MJF, he even played into it as well. He even smartly gave it a pause just so that we could all listen to this crowd cuss and curse on national television. But when he gets back into his promo, he steps right back into his promo, doesn't skip a beat, and there is a fan off to the right side of the ramp getting a little bit loud, and this is where he just absolutely torches this fan. This is exactly what he says. He stops his promo and says this.
Fat boy, I got the microphone!
Oh my gosh. If you get the chance, if you haven't seen this, there is, right where I pause it, as soon as he says that line, there's this girl down on the left-hand side in the corner, and she is covering her face in absolute dismay, looking at the whatever fan it is he's yelling at, and it is one of the most beautiful moments I've ever seen in wrestling because, yeah, MJF, just obviously, this guy was said something got on her skin, or maybe, like I said, MJF's that good that he knew what to do, but he even stopped his promo to torch a fan, and it goes on and on. He torches Sting, and then he ends up getting an absolute beatdown. He gets his whole crew out there, and they beat Sting, and it was almost to the point of uncomfortable for me to watch, not in how it actually happened. It was uncomfortable because I don't know the last time I saw Sting laying in the ring, it just absolutely beaten, and MJF continued. He sat down on a chair, brought up Sting, and then just ripped the hard camera, and it got me excited. It got me aggravated. It got me, you know, intense, and that, my friends, is exactly why MJF is the best heel, in my opinion, in all of wrestling. And I have to give AEW a lot of kudos because I myself, the Sting fan and watched Sting for many, many years. I don't want to see Sting take hard bumps. I really don't. I want to keep seeing Sting on TV. I want to keep seeing him, you know, in the promotion. I want to keep seeing him, you know, in the spotlight. But we all know that Sting doesn't need to be taking, you know, these huge hits, these huge bumps. And they ended up going at him with a chair in the middle of this promo. But when you watch this, it was very, very, very obvious. The chair was so gimmick that they had to get another chair for MJF to stand or sit on, because I knew that if they tried sitting on the chair they were beating Sting with, it probably would have collapsed. And furthermore, all those chair shots he took, you can tell, and I'm glad they did it. I'm not complaining. I'm glad. It looked good. It looked amazing. But if you're a detailed and seasoned wrestling fan, then you would notice that, yes, Sting was wearing a flak jacket. So, hey, thank you for even in a beatdown for saving my boy Sting. Next up, we had a great promo from Dr. Britt Baker, DMD. And every time I say her name, I feel like I need to finish it off completely because this woman is the reason why I bought in bought in, no pun intended, all the way into AEW. The match she had with Thunder Rosa, it goes down as one of my top five matches of all time. And it's absolutely been amazing for me to, as a fan, watch this superstar. Watch this professional wrestler completely just dominate the microphone. She dominates the ring. She is one of the most talented guy or girl. She is one of the most talented wrestlers I've ever watched. And this promo, I'm not usually one that's I don't really get into and really buy into the promos where, you know, you're ripping on somebody else's looks or that sort of thing. That's just not my cup of tea. But in this instance, she ripped Tay Conti an absolute new one. Basically referred to her as only showing off her rear end and, you know, just out there being pretty. And what she should have done is worked her way to the top. But instead, she's jumping the line and coming after Britt Baker. I have to say this. I am looking forward to this match between these two, because Tay Conti as well is an amazing in-ring performer, and I'm still, you know, really excited to keep hearing the promo work. The promo work by Britt Baker, DMD, is absolutely off the hook, and that's really, really all I can say about that. You know what I'm saying? Well, next up, we got the match for the TNT Women's Tournament. Another thing I'm really, really excited about, the women needed a secondary title. That's one thing I thought AEW was missing. I'm not a big fan of the name of the title, but that's just me personally. But I'm a huge fan in the beginning, coming into it, huge fan of this match, because I have been a Ruby Soho fan for years. Completely underutilized in other places she was used, and it is absolutely amazing to see her getting to do work. But this match, God, this is where, you know, I mean, I've been really praising everything so far this episode, because it has just been on fire. But this match didn't do it for me. And to be honest with you, it had nothing, absolutely zero, to do with Ruby Soho. In my opinion, maybe the chemistry is not there, or maybe Penelope Ford, in my opinion, I just don't think she is at the level of nearly almost anybody else on the roster. There was a lot of botches in this match. It was kind of rough. It was actually, it got really rough for a minute there too. There was a part in the middle of the match where I feel like Ruby was going to try and pick Penelope Ford up into somewhat of a sidewalk slam or something. I don't know what it was, but there was some kind of confusion, and it ended up having Penelope Ford just kind of hanging. And you know, the announcers tried to sell it for him, you know, and put it over by saying, "Oh, she's using her dead weight, the best dead weight she can use." But no, what it was Penelope Ford didn't know what she was doing, in my opinion. I'm not, you know, it happens. This is professional wrestling. There are botches, there are mistakes, but that's something that I look forward to in some ways, because I'm always impressed and look forward to see how people cover and recover from these sort of things. And man, the look on Ruby Soho's face, I could tell that even she was almost at a loss at one point in the match on what the heck are we doing, and where do we go from here? Because they obviously had a spot that they were getting to, and after their kind of debacle in the middle of the match, Bunny's down at ringside. She tries tossing in the brass knucks. It doesn't happen. Ruby Soho gets the upper hand. 1, 2, 3, gets the match. So the right person won, not only for storyline purposes, but in my opinion, skill purposes. Penelope Ford, in my opinion, I really feel like she needs to do a little bit more work, or like I said, it could also be just them not having chemistry together. But you know, after the match, Bunny and Penelope Ford, it looks like they're going to get a beat down on Ruby Soho, and Red Velvet comes running out into the ring to even the odds, quote unquote, and that's where we end off there. And I've noticed that I really enjoy this about AEW. There are so much talent back there in the locker room. And I really love how AEW finds so many ways in so many ways to get as many people on a show and TV time as possible, whether it's just coming in to help someone out, coming walking out with somebody else, standing backstage during a promo. AEW puts, in my opinion, more people on television on every single given episode. And then we are back to MJF and Sean Spears backstage. He starts cutting another promo on Darby Allin, and Wardlow comes in. And last week we saw MJF shove Wardlow into the way of him and Sting, and thus Wardlow, you know, took one for the team. And Wardlow, he shows up and he kind of calls out MJF on it. And I really like this because it's basically dropping the tease and starting the seeds for a babyface turn from Wardlow against MJF. But this was actually comedy as well. I will never forget this word. Accountability. That's what happens is MJF is talking to Wardlow and he says, hey, you know, you're doing a good job, but, you know, you need a little bit more. And so he designates Sean Spears as his accountability. And when as they're kind of toiling over that word and what it means, MJF does what he needs to do and, you know, skedaddles on out of the promo, leaving Wardlow and Sean Spears looking at each other. And Sean Spears, he had me laughing literally out loud. He just kind of ends the promo with a spot looking at Wardlow like, hey. I got to say, it had me absolutely dying. This next piece, I have to give a lot of props to creative on this. In one very small match, they were able to do so much. Let's start first with it. The match is Bobby Fish versus Anthony Green. And on one hand, it gave the casual fan a chance to see Anthony Green. He's worked for other promotions, other independents, and he's only had one match in AEW that he's actually lost. But it gave us a chance to see him, and I gotta say, he is an exciting dude to watch. He does some moves off the ropes that absolutely was beautiful, but this was ultimately a squash match. But the reason why it was a squash match is because it accomplished its second goal. This here is the Bobby Fish we are going to get in AEW. And I gotta say, I love it. It is dirty. It is rough. He is dark. After he was done winning the match, he went back in and just started putting a beating on Anthony Green, and these were stiff hits, these were stiff moves throughout the match they had, really cementing his ruthlessness and the amount of absolute pain that Bobby Fish, the moves he does, these aren't moves that you want to see your kids doing in the backyard playing around, because these moves look like they hurt, and they look like they hurt real, real bad. And I gotta say, Bobby Fish is a heel character. You know, he's doing the little mustache thing. I'm not completely in on that. I think it looks kind of funny, but I get it. It goes with his character. But he really cemented himself as a good, solid heel. No honeymoon phase for him anymore. And that takes us to the third point of what this match did, is as he's beating down Anthony Green, week after week after week, I feel like AEW finds a reason or excuse to put CM Punk on almost every show. I'm over it. I am over the honeymoon phase. I have my CM Punk hoodie. I waited 7 years to buy it. I waited 3 weeks for it to show up, and I wear that hoodie every day. I am just as ecstatic as the next fan about CM Punk, but now I am ready to see CM Punk, the wrestler and the character. Not CM Punk, the real life man, because that's where we're at still with CM Punk. And I credit AEW for letting him have this honeymoon phase. But I gotta say, I'm over it. Yes, I'm glad to see that he can still work a mic like nobody else. And he can still have it in the ring. He's fun on commentary. I like how he's putting over and working with these younger talent. But Bobby Fish ain't a younger talent. Bobby Fish is not a rookie, so to speak. To see CM Punk come into the ring to, support and save Anthony Green from getting beat by Bobby Fish, I'm looking forward to this match, I gotta say. Looking forward to it. But I'm really hoping that this is the final match in the honeymoon phase of CM Punk. And that still may be hard. Because realistically, the only way I can see for them to get out of the honeymoon phase with CM Punk is to turn him heel, period. I want to see CM Punk turn heel. The minute he scorches a crowd, the minute he scorches, the people that are, they're just showering him with all the love, oh my, look out. It could be one of the greatest heel runs I've ever seen, and it's something I'm really, really looking forward to. But that's kind of how this ends up. CM Punk comes and saves Anthony Green, has some stare downs with Bobby Fish, and I very, 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 very much look forward to this program. Now we're going to get into a part of the show where I almost step out of being a fan, because the reason why I love wrestling so much, because I'm one of those kids too, got picked on, and even as a grown adult, a grown man, people kind of look at me weird sometimes when I talk wrestling or go to wrestling shows and whatnot. And, I always look at them. I'm like, hey, you watch Game of Thrones? You watch, what's your favorite action movie? What are you watching? And I'm like, and they tell me what they watch, and I'm like, well, sweet. So you're watching paid actors act. But not only that, you're watching paid actors act and use stuntmen that aren't even on camera to do your stunts for them. And me, I'm watching live theater, live television, live stuntmen in the moment doing work. And it is a fact. It is a fact. Any match at any point in any of these moves, there is a chance for absolute horrific things to happen. And it came really, really close on this one. And I'm really glad that they ended the match the way they did. Because what basically boils down to it is Lance Archer, Eddie Kingston are having an amazing match. And they're hitting hard. They're doing it right. And Lance Archer goes to do a moonsault off the top rope. However, this is something that you would see on TikTok. This is something that you would see on YouTube and in some weird video. And usually, you would laugh at it, this thing and that thing. But if you're a wrestling fan and you're watching wrestling, you're not laughing. And I hope he's okay, because Lance Archer, he did that moonsault, but he didn't get all the way over. As Eddie Kingston moves out of the way, he literally lands like a pogo stick on the top of his head. And this is a over 6 foot man doing a backflip off a top rope and landing vertical on the top of his head. That there's so many things that can go wrong there. That could be spinal injury, it could be a neck injury, concussion, a brain injury, anything. So many things can happen in that scenario. And the minute it happened, I stepped out of being a fan and watching someone put on a show, and I stepped back into being a human being and being concerned for another human being. Another human being that is out there performing and doing work in a wrestling ring for entertainment for other people and putting his body on the line. Lance Archer, he lawn darted himself straight into the mat. He rolls out of the ring initially. And you can talk, you can see how they're all trying to communicate. Eddie Kingston's trying to see, what's going on. The doctors come down and see him at ringside. And I knew at that moment, before he gets back in the ring, I knew that this match was over. To be honest, as soon as you see him hit the mat, this match is over, and it needed to be. But so much respect to Lance Archer, because to finish the match in any way, shape, or form, that's what he still wanted to do. I sat there and watched him talk the doctor and the ref into letting him do it. And yeah, so what he did is he rolls himself back into the ring for a second. He's laying there on his back, and then Eddie Kingston just real quickly runs over, rolls him over into a roll up, and gets the 1-2-3 match over. Eddie Kingston moves on. Lance Archer, he's going to the hospital, and all the best wishes. I haven't looked up any news articles or anything like that, because no matter what, if I'm ever doing a review, or if I'm doing anything for the WWE podcast, I watch every single show. I will not speak on anything that I have not watched and seen with my own eyes. I won't look at reviews from other companies, you know, the Bleachers, CPS and all that, or CBS and all that, but you know, I mean, because that works, you know, in situations for it works for other people to use it as a tool, but me, I'm going to give it to you straight every time. The Crisis speaks the Crisis at all times. And watching this, I just really hope that Lance Archer is okay. And you never want to see that scenario with any wrestler. It doesn't matter if they're a heel, a babyface. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if they have go-away heat. These are real human beings performing and putting their bodies on the line each and every single match, each and every single move. And there is always that chance that something could happen. And because it's live, we see it. So Lance Archer, I hope you're good. Get better. Still, I am in review mode. I'm glad Eddie Kingston won. I'm a big Eddie Kingston fan. I've been on board since him and Jon Moxley were tearing each other down for weeks upon weeks. So Eddie Kingston moves on, and Lance Archer, hey, maybe next time just go a little bit further, because, man, that's scary. I hope you're okay. There's not a whole lot in AEW that I really, really don't like. However, Top Team. I could give absolutely – I don't know if I could give less cares about Top Team. And the reason why is because I am a fan of the wrestling world. I don't care how good you are in UFC and in fighting and mixed martial. I don't care what you do outside. If it's not in wrestling, it don't count to me. It just doesn't. I mean, that's just me personally as a wrestling fan, you know, because that's, you know, if you're going to be a real wrestling fan, you really got to buy into that. You know, there's things that are acceptable and happen in that world. And so what we have here is we got Sammy Guevara come on and out and, you know, and basically get into it with Top Team, because once we got back from commercial break, Top Team's already out there. I do not like listening to Dan Lambert talk at all. I really, really don't. But you know, the promo basically breaks down to this, because it was a lot. It was very convoluted. They get into it, and basically Lambert challenges Guevara to face Ethan Page next week for his TNT Championship. And if Guevara loses the match, he has to leave the Inner Circle forever. And this is where it really got kind of corny for me, because even hearing Sammy repeat it, saying, so if I lose, I not only lose my title, but I lose my best friends forever. And no, you're not gonna lose your best friends. It's just a little too simple and childish for me. It just doesn't make any sense. We obviously know that everybody, you know, has their things in the back and this and that. But I mean, if you were going to be kicked out of the faction on, you know, during wrestling, you know, in matches, he could never team up with the Inner Circle again, something like that. That's more believable. But saying I'm going to lose my friends for, come on, bro. But anyways, and Guevara also, if he wins the match, then not only does he keep his title, but he also gets to pick the three members of Top Team that are going to face the Inner Circle at Full Gear. And that's really where the promo should have stopped for me, but it doesn't. The guys, Ethan Page and his buddy, go on up. I'm sorry, I can't remember his name right off the top of my head. I'm still, like I said, I am new in a lot of ways, so this has been a lot of new names for me to memorize, but you know, he goes up, these guys go up there, they start fighting with Sammy Guevara, and obviously Jack Hagar and everybody else comes out. There's bedlam in the ring. It spills out into the crowd and leaves the Inner Circle standing tall in the middle of the ring. But like I said, this is one of those storylines. As Sammy is amazing. I love watching him in the ring. I think he is a good champion. I actually like him as champion way better than Miro. But I just don't buy into Dan Lambert. And to be honest, I don't want to see Jorge Masvidal or Junior Dos Santos. They don't do anything for me. I actually kind of thought they looked sloppy in the ring. And I don't believe that just your name recognition and what you've done in other companies, quote unquote, I don't see how that translates over. This is wrestling. And if you're not going to buy in completely as a wrestler, you're just not going to do it for me. And that's really all I got to say about that. But that's the match we're getting. Sammy Guevara and Ethan Page. Lots of stipulations on the line. Meanwhile, I'm just really was just sitting here waiting for Chris Jericho's music to hit so I could sing along. Now you know the next two spots. I'm kind of just gonna give you just you know Moxley comes out, cuts a promo, and Dark Order comes out and cuts a promo with Hangman Adam Page. Really not much there. It's just really kind of giving them TV time because I really want to jump to the next part that really got me going, and that is Jungle Boy. Jungle Boy, wow, every time I see this boy perform, I'm excited, I am invested, I am all in, and I am so excited, like, you can hear it in my voice, I got goosebumps. I am, like I said earlier, Adam Cole, one of my favorite professional wrestlers right now today, and he, like I said, anytime he's on TV, anytime he's on the screen, I mean, he takes the limelight. He is that damn good. And ever since he debuted and kicked Jungle Boy square in the face, I've been waiting. I know it's coming. They've been slowly getting to it, but we finally get it because he puts an absolute whooping. Like I said earlier, I don't even call this an actual match. Brandon Cutler, I don't know anything about this guy. I don't know if he's actually a wrestler, if he's just a manager, or if he's just an enhancement talent that hangs around with the Elite. But everything about him is just absolutely annoying and kind of dumb to me, you know, with the spray and the face mask and all that. Like I said, maybe there's a story behind that. I don't know that specific story, but this wasn't even a squash match. This was just Jungle Boy, you know, putting a hurting down. After he gets done, it's so quick, he's like, hey, you know, I'm still feeling like a fight, I'm still feeling good, you know, let's do something. And that's when we get Adam Cole comes out, cuts a promo with him, and basically sets us up and lets us know 100% we're getting it real, real soon. Jungle Boy, Adam Cole, I'm going to say right now on record, that match, I am going to almost guarantee that it is at least 4-star match, possibly 5, and I believe it's going to be in the running for match of the year. I am so excited to see what Jungle Boy and Adam Cole can do together. And that brings us to the real reason why I was so excited to do this review, and I will apologize that, you know, Ralph, but I'm just gonna let you know, Ralph, this is something that really, really irked me. It really didn't make any sense to me in any way, shape, or form. I do actually watch Roads to the Top, so it's been really neat to see, you know, what Cody Rhodes goes through, you know, backstage, you know, and running it, and also being a wrestler. But this didn't make no sense to me. The match doesn't really, I mean, the match isn't what's important. It's the finish of the match that's important. For all intents and purposes, the match was good. You know, the match was good. Cody Rhodes and you got Malakai Black, you know, throwing down. And the match was good. But something I really love about AEW is they actually keep track of stats. Wins, losses. They actually have rankings for wrestlers. I really enjoy that. And the bottom line is this is Malakai Black, he undefeated, and didn't make no. And so why would he need to take an L to Cody Rhodes, because that's what happened. Cody Rhodes takes the win. And I know that they're in a, they're down there in a place where his dad's buried and all this, you know, cause afterwards there was a YouTube video that showed Cody Rhodes talking to the crowd and whatnot. And, you know, thanks to, I think I caught that on Ashley Mann's, Twitter, but, what didn't make sense to me was the philosophy. Malakai Black, they have built him and built him so perfectly. He unstoppable, absolutely unstoppable, and him, you know, burying Cody Rhodes. I thought that worked in his favor. It worked correctly, in my opinion. Cody Rhodes should be putting other wrestlers over, and I. That's why I didn't understand this. Cody Rhodes winning and actually getting a clean 1-2-3 on Malakai Black didn't make any sense to me. Zero, zilch. I feel like it didn't do anything to build Cody Rhodes, and it absolutely, I actually believe that it brought Malakai Black backwards a bit, and that's something that it was a shock to me. Absolute shock to see Malakai Black lose that match. That's really all I can say is why. You know, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe someone out there can go ahead and you could tweet at me, or, you know, leave a comment or whatever it is, and call into the mailbag. I don't know how you can do it, but I'm sure there's 50 million ways you can tell me if there's an actual reason on why this happened. Because Malakai Black is another professional that I have been following where he goes. It's to see him doing the work he's doing now. His entrance is one of the best in the business. His kicks. Oh, man. When he lands that black mass on somebody clean and a little rough, man, it looked good. It's one of my favorite finisher moves in all of professional wrestling. But why did he have to lose? Why? I've read conflicting reports. You know, a lot of people say, you know, it's Cody Rhodes. It's you know, it's his decision. I mean, he is one of the executive officers, but I'm looking at it from storyline purposes. This made no sense. The crowd definitely was not about it. And that was kind of weird, you know, to see, you know, Cody Rhodes, you know, it's like, I almost feel like he's supposed to be loved, you know, and people do respect him and they thank him and they're so happy that he brought, you know, this AEW to us. But from a wrestling standpoint, character standpoint, the crowd was not, they were with me. Why did you have him beat Malakai Black? You know, maybe the storyline will materialize over the next week or so. But as of right now, I am literally Cody Rhodes. He has go away heat for me, because that just didn't, it ruffled my feathers just the wrong way. But hey, overall AEW Dynamite, you know, it doesn't matter the ups and the downs, it is a solid episode. Yes, you got to see everybody from top to bottom that you wanted to see, and, you know, yeah, there may be a couple botches and there may have been a couple, you know, sloppy segments, you know, and again, Lance Archer, That's that has nothing to do with wrestling. That is I'm worried and sending my, you know, any good vibes to Lance Archer, the human being, because, man, that was bad. That looked bad. But that's really about it for the show. Top to bottom, solid. The pace was good. And hey, I can't wait for next week. And we're going to see another one, because that's what AEW has become to me. It has become the show that I don't know exactly how it's going to work. I'm not conditioned to how their storylines work and their creative goes, because it's new to me. And new is good, and I am enjoying every bit of it. And that's all I got for you for the review show. Again, my name is The Crisis. You know, I'm out here in Washington. You can catch me on Twitter at State of Crisis, and let me know if I did a good job. Let me know if I sucked. Let me know if you ever want to see me on this show again, because I know I cannot hold a candle to Mimi Burris, but I am honored and absolutely ecstatic. Thank you to Matt at the WWE Podcast as well for allowing me to grace you with my my review, you know, from a newcomer to AEW. And I hope maybe we can come back and do it again. You know, we'll see how I progress as well as a fan, not only as AEW progresses as a company and storyline. So, hey, Full Gear's on the way. It's down the road. It will be the first AEW pay-per-view I am literally going to buy. I'm having a big old party at my house. I decided I'm all in. I am all in on this AEW. I mean, I'm still in on the other companies, but I'm saying AEW, great job. You get me thinking, you keep me excited, and you bring emotions out of me. And that, my friends, is why we watch professional wrestling. Y'all have a good night, and hey, Mimi, coming back next week. I'll see y'all later. Deuces!